Welcome to Big Billy Kender Outdoors, presented by the Dallas Safari Club. When we're not in the great outdoors, we're thinking about it. Come on into the camp house and make yourself at home.
Every single day, we are working to protect your right to hunt, fish, and shoot. Learn more about the DSC at biggame.org.
Hey, welcome to the camp house at Big Billy Kender Outdoors. I'm Billy Kender, and I'm sure glad you're here today. Front door to the camp house is brought to you by a great product from a trusted name Purina. It's called Calming Care. It's for that overactive dog that jumps on everybody, won't stop barking, won't settle down. It's not a drug. It doesn't stupefy your dog. It gently works over time to calm your dog. I think you're going to love it. And your vet can tell you more about it. It's called Calming Care from Purina. You know, the dead of winter and a roaring fire is not the only place to enjoy a good outdoor read. This time of year when, in a lot of places, it's just brutal outside. You don't really feel like doing much. And the air conditioner is a welcome spot to stretch out and enjoy a great outdoor author, like my friend, Ray Sasser. Ray passed away, lost his battle with cancer a little over a year ago, but his writing, his storytelling, is still alive. He was the outdoor writer for the Dallas Morning News. Every Thursday and Sunday morning, all of Texas looked forward to reading Ray Sasser. For 34 years, he wrote for the Dallas Morning News. He also authored 11 books. His photography and writing was just awesome. He had a tremendous talent that could transfer that feeling, the situation, the drama, the peacefulness of a boat or a deer blind to your morning paper. And I was honored when he said, "Yes, I'll be a part of your radio show, Billy." Ray and I would get together and record some of his writings in his own words. And we're going to take a listen to some of those throughout the show today. I think you'll enjoy them. It's a hot summer day and a little storytelling with a cold glass of iced tea and a cool, comfortable camp house is a good place to be. Glad you're here. Hey, we're going to start the day with a pat on the back to pro bass angler David Dudley of Lynchburg, Virginia. He won the Angler of the Year title again on the FLW Tour. And with this victory, he becomes the first angler in the history of the FLW Tour to claim four titles, 2019, 2012, 2011, and 2008. He narrowly edged out Berkeley Pro John Cox, another big bass fishing name out of DeBary, Florida. David picks up $100,000 with the title. He also will receive an automatic berth in the 2020 FLW Cup. Congratulations, David. Job well done. Again. Hey, Missouri, you guys could have an elk season soon. The Missouri Department of Conservation has shared its initial plan for a limited hunting season with the Missouri Conservation Commission at the Commission's public meeting back in June. The Commission gave its initial approval of the proposed plan, and now MDC is asking for public comment. According to MDC elk and deer biologist Aaron Hildreth, the state of Missouri will begin offering a limited season for hunting elk once the herd of about 175 animals reaches a minimum of 200, with an annual herd growth rate of at least 10% and a herd ratio of at least 4 cow elk for every bull. And you guys are getting close in Missouri. According to research, the herd will likely reach 200 animals by next year. With that in mind, they have designated a 9-day archery season for elk, October 17 through 25, 2020, and a 9-day firearms season for elk, December 12 through 20, 2020. The number of permits for a possible 2020 hunt has not yet been determined. The state of Missouri would hope to eventually reach a target population of 500 animals and will use hunting to manage herd size and location. That's good stuff. Hey, if you plan to hunt or fish California, be careful. The California Department of Fish and Wildlife has been made aware of several websites that improperly charge customers extra fees for online fishing and hunting licenses. Plus, they collect sensitive personal information as part of their unauthorized transactions. California hunting and fishing licenses may properly be purchased in only four ways: through a CDFW license sales office, through an independent licensed sales agent like a local sporting goods store, large discount stores, bait and tackle shops, etc. Online through the CDFW's automated license data system, or over the telephone through the California Department of Fish and Wildlife's authorized telephone sales agent, 800-565-1458. Be careful. There are crooks everywhere you turn these days. And the internet just gives a thug a new pocket to pick. Don't leave on that long road trip with your dog without starting a regular daily routine of Forta Flora a few days before your trip. Forta Flora from the trusted name Purina. You can order it from Chewy.com or pick it up at your vet's office. It assures that your dog's GI system will remain in good shape throughout the trip. Forta Flora, safe enough to give every day throughout your trip and continue for a few days after returning home. Keep that stain off of the truck carpet with Forta Flora. The state of Texas offers some fantastic drawn hunts every year, everything from exotic game to huge whitetails and sheep. And you can apply now. The application period is open. Come see me at bbkoradio.com, and you'll see a tab there that will lead you to the fish and game departments of all 50 states. Click on it, find Texas, and you're in business.
Good morning, everybody. This is FLW Tour Angler of the Year, David Dudley. And Billy Kinder, you definitely are not. Big Billy Kinder Outdoors will be right back.
Hi, I'm Corey Mason, Executive Director of Dallas Safari Club, and I want to welcome you to our show on great radio stations across the country and SiriusXM Channel 131. With humble beginnings, Dallas Safari Club began to grow through the years, as did our efforts to conserve wild things and wild places. Our membership has stretched beyond Dallas, Texas, and now reaches around the globe. We have continued to conserve precious resources, teach future outdoorsmen and women about the pure, safe joy of our outdoor heritage, and stand strong to protect your right to hunt, fish, and enjoy the shooting sports. Many thousands have seen the importance of our work and joined us at DSC. Safari can be an overnight camping trip at a state park or a hunt on a foreign continent. We at DSC celebrate safari near and far, and our hope through our partnership with Big Billy Kinder Outdoors is that you will see the importance of this work and become a part of it with us. To learn more about our mission and for membership information, spend a few minutes with us at biggame.org.
Hey guys, don't lose that bragfish today. We've all done it. A weak hook set, a late sweep with the rod, giant jumpers that throw that heavy jig back in our faces. The folks at Trapper Tackle have solved the lost fish issue. For the first time in forever, there's meaningful innovation in the fish hook. The Trapper Tackle iCast Best in Show winner 2 years back-to-back has a unique patented design that locks your catch until you have her in your hands. It's this one-of-a-kind locking system that keeps your plastics in place, cast after cast after cast, too. Trapper Tackle makes hooks for all finesse, live bait, and plastics presentations. Treble hooks for your hard baits, too. When you first take a look at Trapper Tackle hooks, you'll probably scratch your head. When you pose up with that behemoth that didn't get away, you'll smile ear to ear. Trapper Tackle and Bill Lewis have partnered a legend with a state-of-the-art hook design to produce the Rattle Trapper. You need some of those, too. Get them at TrapperTackle.com. Lock them in and load the boat. TrapperTackle.com. Walleye and smallmouth bass are two entirely different critters. Walleye are a delicate, flaky delight on your plate. Smallmouth intend to shred the gears in your fishing reel. You can enjoy a snack while slowly drifting along beautiful Lake Oahe, South Dakota, in search of delicious walleye. The smallmouth is a different story, as multiple 3 to 5 pounders are pursuing your lure with intent to destroy at all times. At Spring Creek Resort and Deepwater Marina, north of Pierce, South Dakota, we know where the fine neighborhoods are that house the distinguished walleye. We also know our way around the rough neighborhoods of Oahe's smallmouth district. Come fish with us. We'll put you up in our lakeside cabins and feed you like royalty in a Spring Creek Resort restaurant and bar. Step out of your car and into Spring Creek hospitality. The toughest decisions that you'll have are walleyes or smallies. And do I really have to go back home? SpringCreekSD.com, home to the 2018 Bassmaster Elite Series.
Somewhere over this horizon sit a million little dictators, eager to purge humanity of its hunting instincts. Contrived emotions flood from their air-conditioned, glass-paneled, Wi-Fi-enabled habitats over the mountains and out into the wild from which they hate to admit they emerged. Their foolish quest to force nature to fit their feelings threatens the survival of every living thing on our planet. If their fevered tantrums are ever imposed, the Earth will be ruled by the deadliest combination in the natural world: human ignorance and human arrogance. Travel another path. The truest path. Nature's path. Trust the hunter in your blood.
Big Billy Kinder Outdoors and the Dallas Safari Club. Now that's good camp house company.
Thousands of kids and parents enjoy the outdoors today because we took the time to teach them yesterday. We are the DSC, and we are at biggame.org.
I cherish the times that I had with my friend Ray Sasser, one of my favorite Ray Sasser stories. He was a very private man, a very quiet man, a very wise man. And Ray, our friend, former Major League pitcher Todd Van Poppel, and I would always get together and go turkey hunting in the spring at Todd's place down in the Texas Hill Country. After a successful morning hunt, we were sitting around sharing a glass of iced tea, and Todd was making a big outdoor breakfast. And I said, "Hey, Ray, by the way, I've lost your cell phone number." And he simply replied, "Good." That's the kind of guy he was. I think you're really going to enjoy the great talent and the storytelling of my friend, Ray Sasser, our camp house storyteller for the past decade, here at Big Billy Kinder Outdoors. Enjoy.
The best proof for the creation theory of intelligent design lies in this irrefutable chain of facts. There is a bobwhite quail, there is a dog that points quail, and there is a 20-gauge shotgun. It's too perfect to be random. That's a quote from Bubba Wood, a longtime bird hunter and a very close friend of mine. Bubba's right. It's so perfect, in fact, that most serious quail hunters would rather go afield without a shotgun than without a dog. Some veteran bird hunters pay exorbitant hunting lease prices in order to exercise their dogs. Oh, they may shoot a bird now and then, but they mostly shoot because the dog expects it. They're like a ballet dancer who no longer pirouettes but lavishly supports the arts, giving young dancers a stage to pursue their passion. One weekend during hunting season, I walked down the center aisle of a kennel loaded with real pointing dogs. The birds raised a deafening din as they lunged around their wire enclosures with such enthusiasm that centrifugal force might have held them in place had they known to run straight up the side and across the enclosed top. They weren't clamoring to be fed. They were aching with every fiber of their being to be taken hunting. Everything about their body language delivered the same message. "Put me in, coach. Pick me. Pick me. I can find those birds." Bird dogs will endure indignities and hardships to make the A-team. Turn them upside down on a booting table and they'll quiver impatiently as you tape rubber boots to their feet to protect them from grass burrs. Strap a beeper collar around their necks so you can locate them in dense cover, and they'll ignore the intrusive electronic beep, a sound as annoying as the backing up klaxon sound emitted by heavy equipment. I've seen bird dogs perforated by porcupine quills, bleeding from thorns, swollen from snake bites, hobbled by grass burrs, ripped open by barbed wire fences, shot by careless hunters, gassed by skunks, mauled by feral hogs, and exhausted from running the equivalent of a marathon 3 days in a row. All they asked in return was a dry, relatively warm place to sleep, a meager ration of dog food, and enough clean water to slake their thirst. The very next day, they were anxious to do it all over again. I've been privileged to follow behind many good pointing dogs. T. Boone Pickens once had a pointer named Ethel. He spelled it E-T-H-E-L, but her name should have been spelled E-T-H-Y-L, as in high octane. Ethel had the advantage of finding birds on one of the greatest quail ranches in existence, but so did her kennel mates. Ethel found more quail than the other dogs, and she looked better doing it. She ran with an elegant gait that made it seem like she was floating over the sandy soil. Once birds were located, Ethel had an uncanny sense of how to trail them without bumping the covey. I don't think I ever saw her bump birds by pushing them too hard. When the iconic Pickens was asked by a business reporter when he first realized he was rich, the lifelong quail hunter's answer no doubt surprised his interviewer. "I knew I was rich," he said, "when I realized that I owned 35 bird dogs." Any good bird dog can smell quail, but the innate ability to work birds well comes from within the dog. It cannot be taught. It certainly can't be passed along by a guy with a whistle and no idea where the birds went in the first place. If Ethel was the best English pointer I ever saw, then Jack is certainly the best setter. Jack belongs to quail hunting guide John Cox, or vice versa. According to Cox, a horseback specialist who treats his horses like dogs, his dogs like children, and his hunters like barbarians, Jack was not a prodigy. "When Jack was a pup, he couldn't pass up a porcupine," recall Cox, as our horses followed the muscular, rangy setter across the sand hills of the Oklahoma Panhandle. "I thought the dog was stupid, and he'd wind up blinded by porcupine quills. Then one day Jack had an epiphany. He pointed 5 coveys in a row. Just like that, he came across another porcupine. He thought about tackling that porcupine, but it's like a light came on in his head, and he suddenly knew what he was supposed to do. He left the porcupine and looked for more quail, and he's never tangled with another porcupine." That's Jack over there on the far hill, so far away that he's a white spot as he works back and forth into the wind. Cox lets the dog run that big because the graceful setter is a team player. Also, because arguing with Jack about where he should be hunting would be the canine equivalent of arguing string theory with Stephen Hawking. Jack slows his ground gobbling pace and stops in a sort of tentative point, tail wagging, looking across the hill toward our horses. "What's he doing?" I ask, unaccustomed to seeing a tentative point from the champion bird finder. "Oh, he's telling us there's a covey down the ridge from him," said Cox. "He'll wait for us to get there, then he'll pin them down." We kick the horses into a lope and quickly close the distance to Jack, still wagging and looking over his shoulder. When we were within 50 yards of the dog, he started forward into the wind, moving cautiously for another 100 yards until he froze in a point that left no doubt the quail were right under his nose. On numerous occasions, I've watched Jack run with his various brace mates, and the result was always the same. The other dog was on Jack's team and occasionally pointed a covey. In other strings, Jack's partner might have been the MVP, most valuable pointer. But running on Jack's team is like swimming on Michael Phelps' team. There's no doubt he's the star of this show. Jack's running mate is like Tonto to the Lone Ranger, Chester to Matt Dillon, Scottie Pippen to Michael Jordan. Jack is so good, Cox sometimes wonders if his running mates are demoralized just to be on the ground with a dog they have no chance of beating. Here's another thing you can't help but wonder after seeing a dog like Jack or Ethel. Why would a scientist waste time cloning sheep? Sheep look identical and seem to reproduce just fine all on their own. If we're going to clone anything, for God's sake, people, let's clone these great bird dogs. At the very least, let's set up a loaner program so every quail hunter has a chance to hunt with a great dog. I once hunted with a true southern gentleman named Ben Parham. Ben is a builder in LaGrange, Georgia, and speaks with a soft southern drawl. He grew up hunting birds with his father during a time when wild quail were plentiful in rural Georgia. Ben recalled a wonderful story that his dad told about growing up in a small Georgia town where it seemed like everyone owned a good bird dog. There were plenty of quail, and the bird dogs of that era got enough work on wild birds that most of the dogs were at least competent. On Saturday mornings, Ben's father told him, a guy who didn't have a dog could drive down to the town square around 8 a.m. There would usually be a bird dog or two roaming the square. At that hour, it was clear that the dog's owner had to work or had some other kind of family business to take care of and wasn't hunting that day. So the dogs just drifted downtown, like migrant workers awaiting a day job. It was common practice just to open your car door and load up a likely-looking bird dog. You'd hunt the loner dog all day, then bring it back to the square and let it out when the hunt was over. It was also customary to stop and buy the dog a hamburger or some other juicy treat as payment for a job well done. Most bird dogs are like that. They'll hunt for anybody who will take them to a bird field. The most impressive points come when the dog is covering ground like a cheetah coursing a gazelle and suddenly turns downwind of a covey. No Italian or German sports car can go from 30 miles an hour to a dead stop as quickly as a bird dog. They whip around in a contorted, mid-stride point, nose toward the birds, body pointed elsewhere. When a seasoned bird dog disappears into a plum thicket, doesn't come out on the other side, you'd better go looking for him. What makes a dog point birds when its predatory instinct must dictate that it chase the birds? What makes a bird hold tight to cover when threatened by what must seem like a different colored coyote? You may as well ask why planet Earth is a perfect distance from the sun and rotates on its axis in such a way that spring follows winter. It's too perfect to be random.
We're going to enjoy the writings of Ray Sasser in his own words throughout the day today. Fortiflora from Purina Veterinary Diets is America's number one canine probiotic, and Chewy.com will deliver it to your house.
Good morning, this is Dr. James Kroll, and when I'm not in the great outdoors, I'm thinking about it with Big Billy Kinder Outdoors.
Wally Marshall, Mr. Crappie here, inviting you and your family to the Crappie Expo presented by Riceland. Hot Springs, Arkansas, October 4 through 6, 2019. The Crappie Expo is for crappie fanatics like you. There will be over 90 crappie fishing manufacturers and dealers selling and showing today's top crappie fishing products in the world. Come see the top 100 pro crappie teams competing in the first $100,000 Mr. Crappie Invitational Crappie Tournament on Lake Hamilton, October 4 through 6 at the Game and Fish Boat Ramp facility on Lake Hamilton. The world's largest crappie fry will be held Saturday, October the 5th, starting at 11 a.m. Bring your family and enjoy the fried crappie, french fried taters, and hush puppies. Free to everyone. Be sure to go by the vendors at the expo to get your tickets. Special thanks to Riceland, Express Boats, Berkeley, TTI Blakemore, Arkansas Game and Fish, Mossback Fish Habitat, ACT Crappie Trail, Gill, and Hummingbird.
The 2019 Crappie Expo, presented by Riceland Rice Bran Oil. Fry it up. Crisp, clean, delicious. When you walk into Marksman Firearms, you'll be greeted by pros that can answer your questions, and you'll see a tremendous selection of rifles, pistols, shotguns, ammo, cleaning supplies, and accessories. It's time for a round of summer clays, fun shooting with the family at the range, and it's always pig season in Texas. So go see the pros at Marksman Firearms in Granbury, Killeen, Mansfield, or Wichita Falls. Gunsmithing available, and we discount 10% to first responders and military. MarksmanFirearms.com.
At Cornerstone Bible Church in Roanoke, Texas, we embrace the gospel of Jesus Christ. We are affiliated with no denomination but champion God's Word only. We have a very active children's ministry, and we are a safe and secure place to hear God's Word and learn about His great love for us, even though we are all great sinners. I'm John Watson, and I want to invite you and your family to church on Litzy Road in Roanoke, Texas, and on the web at csbiblechurch.org.
National outdoor writer Ken Kirkaby knows of what he writes.
I think I probably hunted in just about every western state. And I fly fished in a lot of those places.
He's fished the waters, walked the land, and harvested the game that makes him authentic.
That's where the basis of that comes from. I wanted to make this really authentic, and I wanted people to identify with it. Guys like you and I have a real hard time finding good stuff to read, because it's written by guys that just don't know what the heck they're writing about. And guys like you and I, we read two pages and we say, hey, that's phony. This is not the way it is.
Ever since The Old Man and the Sea, fishing novels have been scarce on the horizon. That was until national outdoor writer Ken Kirkaby wrote his Blue Water classic, The Tournament. Chuck Winchler of Sporting Classics says you can read The Tournament in about the time it takes to catch a big marlin. And every moment will be just as fun, just as exciting. Jennifer Mayhall of Paradise This Week says, The Tournament reels you into the world of sport fishing and doesn't let you go. The Tournament by Ken Kirkaby. Get it on Amazon. There's a place I love to go in the pristine Texas Hill Country that features first-class lodging, outstanding cuisine, world-class wing shooting, the best free-range axis deer hunting in the world, my favorite, by the way, plus native whitetails and turkey, and some of the most comfortable hosts that you've ever enjoyed. Don't forget to throw in the fly rod. You'll want to experience the crystal clear waters of Joshua Creek and the Guadalupe River. Rolling hills and Texas live oaks, friendly smiles, and spring-fed waters. Orvis and Beretta agree that Joshua Creek is one of the finest hunting and shooting ranches in existence. And I think you will too. You won't find a prettier place to get married. And our staff and facilities will make your corporate event, family reunion, or private party turnkey and the best you'll ever experience. Joshua Creek Ranch in the historic Texas Hill Country between San Antonio and Fredericksburg. Want to go? Of course you do. JoshuaCreek.com. Dove hunting in Argentina is well documented, but as my friends at JJ Casseria, Cordoba Doves will tell you, the duck hunting is unmatched anywhere in the world. Lane Balky is the U.S. representative for JJ Casseria.
The duck lodge is in Corrientes. We shoot 30 ducks in the morning and 10 per D's in the afternoon. We have 11 different species of ducks. We have a duck season from the 15th of April to the 31st of August.
You are assured before you ever leave American soil that you're going to feel welcome and at home when you hunt with your new friends at JJ Casseria.
Our lodge is beautiful. It's 4 years old. It has 10 double bedrooms, all with private baths, all heated and air conditioned. It's very comfortable. We don't put on air, so you'll feel as relaxed in the lodge as you do in your living room.
Hunt world-class doves and ducks in Argentina. Plan next year now by visiting CordobaDoves.com.
My name is Jose Grasso, the owner of JJ Casseria. Can see me in Argentina.
Folks, come in off the porch. Big Billy Kinder Outdoors is back, partners with the Dallas Safari Club.
A helicopter flies over African bush with the DSC logo on it. When poachers are busted, they can clearly see who caught them. We are the DSC. We are at biggame.org.
Hey, the Texas Trophy Hunters Extravaganza is always the tailgate party, the unofficial kickoff to the hunting seasons in Texas. It's a big deal where we all get together and take a look at the latest gear, talk to the outfitters, get the ball rolling towards deer season. And the first Texas Trophy Hunters Extravaganza of the summer is coming up August 2nd, 3rd, and 4th in Houston at the NRG Center. Friday, 3 till 8 p.m., Saturday, 9 till 7, Sunday, 10 until 5. That's August 2nd, 3rd, and 4th. The Texas Trophy Hunters Extravaganza at the NRG Center in Houston. Ray Sasser taught a lot of kids and adults about the outdoors while he was here on this earth. And he wrote a really good piece some years back called Be the Coach. Here he is.
Opening weekend of deer season, I was asked to guide a 10-year-old boy on his first deer hunt. I love getting kids involved in the outdoors and was glad to be the guide. Kid showed up at the ranch with his dad. They had a brand new rifle that had never been fired. When I asked if the boy had ever shot a rifle before, his dad said, "Yeah, I think so, at summer camp or somewhere." That's when I knew I was in trouble. This young man was set up to fail at deer hunting by the very person who should be his biggest supporter. If a kid was interested in baseball but had never held a bat, you wouldn't put him in a game with the bases loaded in the bottom of the ninth. That's the baseball equivalent to handing a 10-year-old a rifle and expecting him to shoot a deer. Deer hunting is a pastime that consists of long, boring waits and a deer blind, punctuated by brief but intense encounters with game. You can't learn to shoot a rifle on your first deer hunt any more than you can learn to play baseball in a real baseball game. You learn through practice. Here are three things to remember if you're preparing a youngster for his first deer hunt. Buy, beg, borrow, or steal a scope-sided .22 rifle. It's the ultimate learning tool for any novice rifle shot. Take the child as often as possible to a safe shooting area and let him blaze away. Use balloons or spinning targets, which are fun to shoot. Several hundred shots fired from a scope-sided .22 will teach a youngster how to acquire his target through the scope and how to squeeze the trigger for an accurate shot. Number two. Take your young hunter to a deer blind and let him or her practice acquiring a solid rest from the windowsill of a blind long before deer season. Anytime you take a novice to a new blind he's never hunted before, spend a few minutes learning how to get a good rest from that particular blind. Number three, make sure your young deer hunter has a rifle he can shoot without fear. Centerfire rifles adequate for deer hunting kick enough to hurt a small child. Yet there's a fine line between having enough gun to do the job and having too much gun for the kid to handle. My favorite calibers for youth hunters are the Remington 260 and the 7mm 08. Also, take a look at reduced recoil ammunition offered in popular deer hunting calibers by both Remington and Federal. By using lighter bullets and a reduced powder charge, they cut the recoil in half and still deliver a knockout punch out to about 100 yards. If you want to make a child into a deer hunter, dedicate just as much time and effort as you spent making him into a baseball player, a basketball player, a football player, or a soccer player.
Ray Sasser, outdoor writer for the Dallas Morning News for 34 years and author of 11 outdoor books. By the way, Aguila Ammo was not producing the mini shell when Ray wrote that, but had they been, I know he would have included them. Super low recoil, super low noise. Perfect way to get a youngster started in the shotgun sports. Just a tip. Back in 2010, Ray, through his writing, expressed his concern for hunter decline in our nation, brought out some alarming figures. Though the numbers in this next piece may be a little dated, the issue still remains. Too many distractions in this old world these days. Not as many kids being exposed to the great blessings of hunting, fishing, canoeing, hiking, bird watching, God's great outdoors.
A reader emailed to ask for my take on the decline in hunter numbers. According to the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, the number of American hunters 16 and older dropped 10% between 1996 and 2006. Texas hunters remained constant at about 1.1 million, more than any state. Given the increase in this state's overall population, however, the flat sales of Texas hunting licenses signal a decline in the overall percentage of hunters in the Texas population. Here are the factors that I believe contribute to the decline in hunter numbers. One of them is urbanization. It's a major player for two reasons. When you live in an urban area, you don't have the option of getting in a quick duck hunt before work or heading to a dove field in the afternoon. For most urban and suburban dwellers, a hunting trip is a major outing that requires time and planning and is usually done on a weekend or a holiday. Urbanization also influences hunting by reducing wildlife habitat. Urban sprawl replaces habitat with housing developments and strip malls. Just ask longtime Dallas residents who once enjoyed good dove and quail hunting on property now occupied by DFW Airport or other developments. Another cause is modern society offers many more leisure time options than when I grew up in a rural area in the 1950s and 1960s. City kids are often involved in weekend activities that include soccer and other sports. Kids' activities have become family priorities. When the kids have a game on Saturday, there's no time left for a hunting trip. In September 2009, I was in two different dove hunting camps, both on weekends. There were two women in the first hunting group, one in the second. My wife was there both times. For whatever reason, men do not include their wives in the hunt. Some women don't want to be included, but others would participate if given the chance. More than 90% of U.S. hunters are males and 96% are white. There were few kids in either of those two hunting groups I just mentioned. Maybe the moms were driving the kids to their soccer games, or the kids decided that the hunting experience wasn't worth getting up before daylight on a weekend for. Yet another factor is the divorce rate. It's about 50%, meaning a lot of kids are being raised in single-parent homes. I truly admire divorced women who support their kids' interest in outdoor sports, particularly when the women do not come from an outdoor background. Since most kids of divorced parents wind up with their mothers, divorce makes it more logistically difficult for fathers to take their kids hunting. The financial strain of supporting two households leaves little discretionary spending money. And speaking of financial strain, it costs a lot more to go hunting these days, particularly for hunters living in urban and suburban areas. Every cost associated with hunting and travel has risen significantly. Older hunters who truly love the sport will justify the expense however they can. Younger hunters with retirement to worry about and college funds to accumulate have a tougher time finding the money to spend on hunting leases and extended hunting trips. Hunting was once considered the pastime of every man. In fact, hunting was how early Americans fed their families. Today, middle-class Americans are being priced out of the sport. Finally, in private property states like Texas, wealthy sportsmen are buying up rural land, converting livestock range to recreational ranches. The trend may be good for wildlife, but it's bad for the future of hunting. Livestock ranchers depend on hunting lease income to help ends meet. Recreational ranch owners restrict hunting to friends and family. Fewer properties available for hunting leases mean higher lease prices. Interestingly, the number of recreational fishermen has declined more rapidly than the number of hunters, 15% over the same decade. Fishing water is mostly a public resource, but all the other factors are pretty much the same for anglers.
That's outdoor writer Ray Sasser from 9 years ago expressing his concern about the decline in hunters, fishermen, and outdoorsmen in our nation. And that trend continues even still. But some folks are doing something about that. It's called the Outdoors Tomorrow Foundation. They do great work, and if they're not in your local school system, they need to be. They're spreading across the United States where they actually teach hunting, fishing, and the outdoors in schools, in the school system. It's approved curriculum, and your kids get school credit toward their graduation for taking this class.
Hey, everybody, it's professional angler Ott Defoe. And when I'm not in the great outdoors, I'm thinking about it with Big Billy Kinder Outdoors.
They call it Couples by the Creek at Cinnamon Creek Ranch.
So the Couples by the Creek is an event we do once a month. It is a time where there's no kids allowed, so the parents can come out for a great evening. We bring them all into the arena and start out shooting in here. We get the skeet shooting going, archery tag. Joe and Nola do a phenomenal dinner afterwards. All your food, all the bow rentals. You can bring your own equipment if you'd like, but you don't have to. Most of the people that come to the Couples by the Creek have never shot a bow. And we have groups of ladies that come, so it doesn't necessarily have to be a couple. We've had four or five guys come together. So it's just a night away from the kiddos, get out and have a good time and have a safe time. But we have a DJ usually afterwards. Let's play some music, get a little dancing going with a great meal to follow.
Couples by the Creek at Cinnamon Creek Ranch. It's the dangest date you've ever taken her on. And she just might fall in love with bow shooting, or with you. That's okay. Cinnamon Creek Ranch has the largest archery pro shop on planet Earth, and we do weddings. CinnamonCreekRanch.com. When it's time to fillet your catch or field dress that deer, it's not the time for a dull piece of steel that not only makes the job 10 times tougher, but also gouges into the meat, resulting in ugly cuts, loss of meat, and a dirtier job. A sharp blade is absolutely essential for clean and proper cuts in the field, in the kitchen, workshop, or garage. Remember this name, WorkSharp Knife and Tool Sharpeners. Trust me when I say that WorkSharp will make any knife you own sharper than the day you bought them. And WorkSharp sharpeners are easy to understand and use. That's a big deal. They come in all sizes, handheld for the backpack, boat, or to carry along in the truck. A handy kitchen model to quickly, simply, and precisely sharpen your culinary knives. Slice that tomato paper thin. WorkSharp makes bench models, too, for lawnmower blades, hatchets, shovels, and bigger blades. WorkSharp is offering 30% off when you use the promo code BigBilly30. That's Big Billy and the number 30 when you order online at WorkSharpTools.com.
The Dallas Ecological Foundation is now the Outdoors Tomorrow Foundation, or OTF. Hi, I'm Scott McClure with the OTF, and I wanted to let you know that aside from the name change, we are the same organization, a 501c3, doing the same important work for the future of American youth in the hunting, fishing, and shooting sports. The Outdoors Tomorrow Foundation is the wheel that keeps outdoor adventures moving in our schools. Outdoor Adventures is in hundreds of schools across America, teaching kids in junior highs and high schools great things like archery, boating safety, camping, and hunting. It's a legitimate part of the school curriculum. Outdoor Adventures is a PE course for kids that just don't have an interest in school or athletics or team sports. They're not involved. The life lessons learned and the lives that light up when learning these outdoor skills are real, and the stories are fantastic. The Outdoors Tomorrow Foundation is opening new insights to youth through public schools. If you'd like to donate or see Outdoor Adventures in your local school, the first step is to visit our website, DallasEcologicalFoundation.org.
If your hunting blind isn't comfortable enough to keep you in the field all day, you're hunting from the wrong blind and missing a ton of opportunity for success. Does your blind keep the wind and rain on the outside and have drip rails on the windows to keep your view clear? How about friction hinges on the windows? Just lift and let go. Do you have a 360 view of your country without opening a door? Quiet marine-grade carpet and locking aluminum doors? Insulated flooring? These features are all standard on lightweight, tough-as-a-hammer Dillon hunting blinds. If your terrain calls for a view above the mesquite flats or other obstructions, check out Dillon's safe and strong platforms with handrails and porches for the occasional stretch. Dillon blinds are available in sizes that fit your situation to a T, with windows suited for rifle, bow, or both. Lightweight and durable fiberglass blinds from Dillon are at DillonMANUF.com. Stay longer. Shoot more deer in a Dillon.
Glad you're back. We still have some big fish to fry here at Big Billy Kinder Outdoors, presented by the Dallas Safari Club.
Conserving wildlife and the habitat that they need for survival. Come be a part of that with the DSC. Learn more at biggame.org.
You know, I mentioned the Outdoors Tomorrow Foundation and their work to educate our kids about the great outdoors through the school system. And they started in Texas some years back, and now they have spread literally across the United States and growing more and more and more every year. They have to have money to get things done. And so they're going to get together with another Texas powerhouse, the Texas Trophy Hunters Association, and have their first annual TTHA Outdoors Tomorrow Outdoor Adventures Sporting Clay Shoot. It's going to be at Defender Outdoors Clay Sports Ranch in Fort Worth, Texas on August 8th. And then after the shoot, it's a concert with Jerry Jeff Walker's boy, Django Walker, in concert. It's going to be a fun day, all to raise money to further the education of our next generations in the outdoors, hunting, fishing, and shooting sports. If you can make it, that'd be great. All the details are on my website at bbkoradio.com. My friend Ray Sasser passed away a little over a year ago, but we're remembering him today. He was a part of this radio show for the first 8 years we were in existence, and during that time, he read a lot of his writings that he shared with his readers in the Dallas Morning News and his 11 books in his own words. And during the point in the summer where it's just not comfortable outside, I thought it might be a good idea to sit here in the air conditioner and listen to Ray tell stories today. He was one of the best. I miss him. And one of the things that Ray wrote about that got the most attention was rattlesnakes.
Everybody who spends much time outdoors in Texas has got a good rattlesnake story, but few of them are as good as Jim Ross's rattlesnake story. It was after 10 p.m. on a warm April evening, and Ross was stretched out in his easy chair with his boots pulled off watching the news. His wife walked outside their ranch house in McCulloch County and heard the unmistakable buzz of an angler rattler near her parked car. The snake was agitated by the family cats. Ross grabbed his shotgun and a small flashlight and hustled out the door without bothering to pull on his boots. Ross's shotgun was loaded with buckshot in case a more dangerous varmint came snooping around the isolated ranch. He shooed the cats out of the way and let the 4-foot rattler crawl out from the car before taking aim and separating the snake's body from its head. At that close range, the shotgun kicked up a cloud of dust, and it took me a couple of seconds to find the snake's body in the dim glow of that little flashlight, recalled Ross. I didn't see the head, and I made the mistake of taking one little step and stepped right on that snake's head. As most outdoorsmen know, a severed snake head bites by reflex. The head that Ross stepped on responded by clamping down on his heel. Rattlers usually bite with a stabbing motion that embeds their hollow fangs in the target and injects venom. Then the snake pulls away. The average strike is completed in fractions of a second, with a wide variation in the amount of venom that's injected. The snake's head that clamped onto Ross's heel could not pull away. It hung on, milking venom into the bite until Ross reached down and manually removed it from his heel. Shaken by the experience and certain that he had received a serious snake bite, Ross returned to his house, emptied the ice from his freezer into a 5-gallon bucket, and placed his foot in the bucket while he called a neighbor to help get him to the hospital. He also called an ambulance. We were 16 miles from the hospital in Brady, and we'd gone about a third of the way when we met the ambulance coming our way and flagged it down, said Ross. I got in the ambulance, and the ambulance driver turned it around, running off into the ditch, high-centering the ambulance and stalling it right there. The driver keyed her mic and informed her dispatcher that the vehicle was dead in the road. One of Ross's neighbors, listening to the misadventures on a police scanner, thought Ross was dead in the road. He called Jim's father to give him the bad news. It was a circus, said Ross. I'd lived around there all my life, and I knew the ambulance driver and the emergency technician. They were all friends of mine. When we got to the hospital, a sheriff's deputy, and a highway patrolman were both there. They were giving me a hard time about getting bit by a dead snake. It seemed funny until the venom spread from the chilled foot. Ross was in the hospital for 13 days. His buddies retrieved both pieces of the dead snake and stuck them in the freezer. They later had the snake mounted in two pieces, and Ross still has the mount at his house. I was still on crutches and I hadn't been home long when we heard another snake in the yard one night, said Ross. This time I got a .22 pistol and a better flashlight, and I hobbled out on the porch on my crutches. I wasn't about to get off that porch. Ross could tell the snake's approximate location beside the house, but he had trouble spotting the target in the dim light. He finally saw coils and emptied 14 rounds from his pistol into the coils. The rattling stopped, and Ross hobbled back into the house. It was the next morning that his wife discovered that her husband had blasted their water hose to pieces.
I don't blame him. Hey, here's a little tip for you. If it's legal to feed deer, to hunt over feed in your state, and you're out filling feeders this summer, be particularly careful. I don't know how many rattlers I've killed coiled up near a feeder waiting for a mouse to come get a piece of that corn. Ray wrote about rattlesnakes several times.
This happened in 2007 when Al Whitzel had a very close and very lucky encounter with a big rattlesnake on opening day of dove season. Whitzel's been hunting in West Texas for over 40 years, and he's seen his fair share of diamondbacks. I know there are plenty of rattlesnakes around, and I know better than to reach my hand into cover where I can't see what's there, said Whitzel. On the afternoon of September the 2nd, 2007, Whitzel and several family members were hunting the edges of plowed field in Mitchell County. They'd gotten to the field about 3:45 on a warm, humid afternoon. Thunderheads were building in the east, and the doves were flying earlier than usual. Whitzel was hunting just down a fence line from his son Barry and his 5-year-old grandson Lane. It was Lane's first dove hunting trip, and one he will likely remember for a long time. The field was grown up in knee-high grass and weeds. Whitzel shot a dove that fell on bare ground. When he walked over to pick up his bird, another bird flew by, and the hunter shot that dove as well. The second bird was not hit hard. It fluttered down into a nearby tree line. When Whitzel walked over to look for the wounded dove, the bird managed to flutter out the opposite side of the trees, where he had no shot, then flutter weakly down under the base of the cedar tree. Walked up and I could see the bird sitting there under the branches of the tree, said Whitzel. The dove walked under the tree and moved into a more open area on the other side of the tree. I walked around the tree and spotted the dove lying dead right next to a low-lying cedar branch. The ground was clean and I thought I could see everything. When Whitzel reached for the dove, a rattlesnake nailed him on the hand. The rattler's fangs penetrated the hunter's ring and middle fingers, piercing completely through the skin. When Whitzel reacted by jerking his hand back, the snake couldn't let go. He jerked the snake at least 3 feet off the ground before it came loose from his hand. That snake was the same color as the ground, recalled the shaken hunter. I shot the snake, but I don't think I killed it. My hand was bleeding, and I had trouble getting another shell in my gun because of the blood. I yelled for Barry, and he came running. Whitzel's family loaded him in the vehicle and headed for the hospital in Colorado City. They packed his hand in ice to slow the movement of venom through his system. They called the local hospital to let them know that a snake bite victim was en route. By the time they reached Colorado City, Whitzel's middle finger was swollen almost twice its normal size, from the fingertip to the middle knuckle. A doctor cleaned up Whitzel's hand, then used a marker to mark the extent of swelling. Then the medical crew sat back and watched. After 6 hours and no additional swelling, Whitzel's doctor declared him the luckiest man in West Texas. He had obviously received very little venom from the snake bite. One theory is that the snake struck the dove and injected venom into the dove, said Whitzel. I was surprised when I walked around that cedar and saw the dove was dead. The bird had seemed lively just seconds before. Another theory is because the snake's fangs penetrated completely through my fingers, the venom was sprayed onto the ground. There was so much blood, the bleeding may have washed some of the venom out. There's also a chance that Whitzel was a lucky recipient of what's called a dry bite, so named because the snake chooses not to inject venom. The only dry bites are defensive in nature, though Whitzel's doctor said his was the first dry bite the doctor had seen in years.
I gotta have a break after all that snake talk. Big Billy Kinder Outdoors will be right back.
Oh, 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 oh.
to Big Billy Kender Outdoors, presented by the Dallas Safari Club. When we're not in the great outdoors, we're thinking about it. Come on into the camp house and make yourself at home.
Conserving wildlife and the habitat that they need for survival. Come be a part of that with the DSC. Learn more at biggame.org.
Thank you so much for joining us in this old camp house again this week at Big Billy Kender Outdoors. We greatly appreciate it. And hey, there's only one rule around here. You got to come back next week and bring someone with you. Tell a buddy about the show that likes to hunt, fish, or wants to learn more about God's great outdoors. This corner of the camp house is brought to you by Purina Pro Plan. I talk firsthand about Pro Plan because I've fed it to my dogs, hardworking bird dogs and lovable lap dogs, for over two decades. There's a Pro Plan formula specifically built for your dog, even if they have a special condition. Pick up the Pro Plan at Atwood's Ranch and Home Stores, Texas, Oklahoma, Missouri, Arkansas, and Kansas. Hey, if you're a member of Bass and you receive Bassmaster magazine, you already know that the list of Bassmaster's 100 best bass lakes in the nation is out for the year, and a newcomer to the top spot, anyway, takes first place this year. For the first time ever, New York's St. Lawrence River has earned the top spot. Over the past 7 years, this incredible smallmouth fishery has cracked the top 10 in Bassmaster's 100 best bass lakes two times. In both 2015 and 18, the St. Lawrence River, also known as the Upper St. Lawrence River, ranked 8th on the list. This year, though, the New York fishery moves all the way up to number 1, the top bass fishing destination in the country. Number 2 on the list, well, it's been at the top before, Lake Guntersville, Alabama. Another giant comes in at number 3, Sam Rayburn Reservoir, Texas. This list is filled with giants. Clear Lake, California, number 4, Lake Fork, Texas, number 5, Chickamauga, Tennessee, number 6, number 7, New Malones Lake, California. Lake St. Clair, Michigan, number 8. Santee Cooper, South Carolina, number 9. And Lake Erie in New York, 2 New York lakes on the top 10 list, finishes out the top 10. Minnesota's ruffed grouse spring drumming counts were similar statewide to last year. A lot of folks like to travel to Minnesota with their bird dogs in the fall and hunt those tasty ruffed grouse. DNR biologists in Minnesota have monitored ruffed grouse populations for the past 70 years. And this year, DNR staff and cooperators from 14 different organizations surveyed 131 established routes across the state's forested region. Drumming is the low sound that male grouse make as they beat their wings rapidly and increasing frequency to signal the location of their territory and attract females ready to begin nesting. Drumming counts are an indicator of the ruffed grouse breeding population. These 2019 survey results for ruffed grouse were 1.5 drums per stop statewide. That's a good number. Counts vary year to year from about 0.6 drums per stop during years of low grouse abundance to about 2.0 during years of high abundance. So 1.5, yeah, that's a good number. This does not indicate great fall hunting numbers just yet. That depends on a successful breeding, nesting, and chick-rearing season. The Nebraska Game and Parks Commission will accept applications for the 2019 Bighorn Sheep Lottery permit through August 2nd. The deadline's coming, and only Nebraska residents are eligible for this. The 2019 Bighorn Sheep season is December 3rd through the 22nd. The permit will be drawn August 28th. I've got a giant big fish and a giant little fish for you to check out on the bragging board at bbkoradio.com. That giant little fish, well, Alfonso Jackson broke a 36-year-old freshwater fish state record in North Carolina, so says the Fishing Wire, when he landed a 2-pound, 1-ounce redbreast sunfish. That is a giant redbreast sunfish. Caught it out of the Lumber River in Wagra. Alfonso is from Maxton, North Carolina. Caught the fish using a cricket, broke the previous record by 5 ounces. And that fish was caught way back in 1983 by Ronald Stanley in Big Swamp, Bladen County, North Carolina. By the way, if you don't get the fishing wire in your mailbox every day, the outdoor wire, the hunting wire, you really should. Free to sign up. Our big, big fish comes out of Florida. Nope, it's not a largemouth bass. It's a 69.3-pound flathead catfish, the new state record there in Florida. 47 inches long, 34.25 inches around the belly. Marvin Griffin, Santa Rosa County, caught the giant flathead. Caught it on a rod and reel in the Yellow River. And it was the first and only fish that he caught that day. Interesting that Griffin's uncle, James Austin Jr., caught a state record flathead out of that same Yellow River back in 2011 and held the record until 2016. Runs in the family. He's on the bragging board at bbkoradio.com along with Alonzo and his sunfish. Check them out. Congratulations, guys. Hey, 89% of the field trial champions across North America are Purina Pro Plan Performance Formula dogs. That says a lot. Pick up the Pro Plan Performance Formula for your working dog or bird dog at Atwood's Ranch and Home Stores.
Hey, everybody, it's Sean Mann. And when I'm not in the great outdoors, I'm thinking about it with Big Billy Kinder Outdoors. Take him, Billy!
Hi, I'm Corey Mason, Executive Director of Dallas Safari Club, and I want to welcome you to our show on great radio stations across the country and Sirius XM Channel 131. With humble beginnings, Dallas Safari Club began to grow through the years, as did our efforts to conserve wild things and wild places. Our membership has stretched beyond Dallas, Texas, and now reaches around the globe. We have continued to conserve precious resources, teach future outdoorsmen and women about the pure, safe joy of our outdoor heritage, and stand strong to protect your right to hunt, fish, and enjoy the shooting sports. Many thousands have seen the importance of our work and joined us at DSC. Safari can be an overnight camping trip at a state park or a hunt on a foreign continent. We at DSC celebrate safari near and far, and our hope through our partnership with Big Billy Kinder Outdoors is that you will see the importance of this work and become a part of it with us. To learn more about our mission and for membership information, spend a few minutes with us at biggame.org.
The Moore family at Southwestern Parts and Service in Dallas has been specializing in fishing reel repair since 1970. Early on, fishermen nationwide recognized that Southwestern Parts and Service was dependable, honest, and very good at what they do. With the largest fishing reel parts inventory in the U.S. and even some inventory for obsolete and discontinued models. Yes, Grandpa's old reel sitting on the mantle can go back to work again. Southwestern Parts is recognized by folks like Shimano, Abu Garcia, Daiwa, Penn, and Zebco Quantum as an authorized warranty center. And labor on fishing reels is $19.95 plus parts on most models, and that includes cleaning and lubrication. And with 6 full-time reel techs, Southwestern Parts and Service strives to get your equipment back into your hands quickly. Is your local reel shop having trouble finding parts for repair? We can help. Come see us at www.fishingreelrepair.com. That's fishingreelrepair.com. 214-630-8161. We do work for customers worldwide, and we can help you too. Ride on US 287 as you head from the Metroplex to hunt, fish, or ski New Mexico, Colorado, and Wyoming. You drive right past one of the most unique stores on the planet, the Buffalo Gold Herdware Retail Store. You'll find most everything that can be made from the American bison. If your passion is hunting or fishing, you can enjoy it year-round. You simply need to learn the secret of the buffalo. The buffalo endures some of the most fierce northers that come down through the plains. The secret is the downy-like fiber that grows beneath that big blanket of hair on their shoulders. This second growth of hair is warmer than wool and much more durable. 1 pound of this fiber is all that insulates a 1,200-pound bison. This is what we produce and sell at Buffalo Gold. Socks, gloves, hats, and more made of bison down. Things you need to comfortably handle your fly rod or rifle when your buddies are too cold to function. Stop and touch it for yourself. About 40 miles southeast of Amarillo in Goodnight, Texas, near the north rim of Paladura Canyon. Come see us on the web at buffalogold.net.
This is a public service announcement test from TakeMeFishing.org to determine if you need a fishing license and boat registration before heading out on the water. Let's begin. Are you a bear? Do you have a beak?
Does your name rhyme with Ald Beagle? Do you dart in front of cars? Here's a tough one. Do you have plumage? Do you rub your body against things to mark them? Do you have webbed feet? No, I mean like a... Were you hatched? Do you have fur? I'm not talking back hair. Does your boat fly south for the winter with the other boats? Regardless of how you answer, you need to be licensed and registered because it helps local conservation efforts protect the very natural resources you enjoy boating and fishing in for generations to come. Do your part at TakeMeFishing.org.
This old camp house has lots of room. Come on in. This is the Dallas Safari Club's Big Billy Kinder Outdoors.
Safari may be deep in the African bush, or maybe a trip with the grandkids to a neighborhood pond. No matter where you safari, we fight for you at the DSC, biggame.org.
It's the dog days of summer right now, but my favorite part of the year, fall, is coming. The bass fishing is more comfortable, and it's that fall bite is just awesome. We'll be hitting the field, the deer woods, turning the bird dogs loose. It's a great time of year. They'll be playing tackle football again before long. And what kicks it all off? The Texas Trophy Hunters Extravaganza, that Houston show coming up I was talking about earlier, August 2nd through the 4th. And then they pick up the show and move it to Fort Worth, Texas, August 9, 10, and 11. 3 until 8 p.m. Friday, 9 until 7 Saturday, 10 until 5 on Sunday at the Fort Worth Convention Center. Parking is free for the Texas Trophy Hunters Extravaganza coming to Fort Worth August 9, 10, and 11, the tailgate party to the fall hunting seasons here in Texas. Hope to see you there. We're revisiting some of the writings of one of America's finest outdoor writers on the show today. Ray Sasser passed away just over a year ago, but he was our camp house storyteller for the 8 years prior to that. So we have a treasure on tape. And some of the stories I enjoyed Ray writing and telling the most were his travels, trips, excursions.
I hadn't been in Dallas long, and a friend of mine said, "Hey, we're all going fly fishing up on the Bow River in Calgary, Alberta. You know, why don't you come go with us?" So I thought, hey, I'd almost never fly fished at all in my life. So I got a fly rod and I went bass fishing a couple of days, which didn't exactly prepare me for what was going to happen on the Bow River, but it was a good experience nonetheless. We fished with these outfitters, and the Bow River runs right through downtown Calgary at one point. It's probably the best urban fishing river maybe in North America. Really good. It's a very productive river. Anyway, we were fishing out of drift boats, and you stand up and you got a place to brace, and you just kind of cast this fly at targets, you know. These fish would be behind a rock or somewhere, and it was great. We were catching lots of fish. It was great. I was fishing with Rick Pope that particular day. Rick
and Temple Fork Outfitters.
Temple Fork Outfitters, absolutely. So we stopped the drift boat on the upper part of where a little island was on one side of the river, and so the river split wide side on one side, then just a little narrow sheet between the island and the mainland there. And so Rick and the guide went on the chute and were nipping with strike indicators in the swift water there. And I just walked down to the bottom of the island. And I had a nine-way fly rod because that's the only one I had. And I started casting a big woolly bugger. I just cast it out there and kind of let it drift with the surface. And about the third cast, I saw it. Tail come up and felt a bite, and the river had big brown trout in it. And this was a brown trout. I mean, it's a huge brown trout. Its tail looked as wide as a canoe paddle. Mm. And I didn't know anything about fly fishing. If I'd had enough sense to yell for the guide and the boat as soon as I hooked the fish, it might have been a different deal. Mm. But I figured, well, here I am with a 9-weight fly rod. This is a trout. You know, there's no way he's going to beat me. So this brown trout just heads directly out into the main flow of the river, turns downstream, and keeps on going. And there was absolutely nothing I could do with him. Finally, I got to the point where I was running out of backing, you know. I mean, he was going to have everything I had, and I was going to be out of fishing.
Yeah.
So I just clamped down on the spool until I pulled the fly. As it, I thought I'd broken it off, but as it turned out, I pulled the fly loose from the fish. And as I was reeling it back in, I caught a 20-inch rainbow.
Get out of here.
That was the consolation prize. But let me tell you, of all the big fish that I've hooked and fought and lost over the years, and there have been a bunch of them,
yeah,
that's the one I most would have liked to have caught.
There's fish stories, and then there's Ray Sasser stories. The difference? 100% of what Ray Sasser tells you, you can take to the bank. If he says it was a giant, it was. And I, too, would like to have seen that fish, because Ray caught some good ones. He fished from Canada to Mexico and beyond. Loved to fish. Purina Pro Plan brings us this corner of the camp house each week at Big Billy Kinder Outdoors. There's a Pro Plan formula for your dog, even if they have an itchy coat or maybe they're older and need added glucosamine in their diet. Pick up the Pro Plan formula that's perfect for your dog at Atwood's Ranch and Home Stores. Well, we've been to Canada fishing with the great Ray Sasser. Now, let's go to Mexico.
In 1975, I was living near Port Arthur, Texas, and working for the Port Arthur News. I had a friend named Jimmy Olive who was probably the best natural bass fisherman I ever met. Olive called me one day and said, "You know, there's a new bass lake I've heard about down in Mexico. We ought to go down there and go fishing for about 3 days." So he got me and another friend of ours named Lloyd Godbow together. And Jimmy's family owned a used car lot in Port Arthur. And they just happened to have a 28-foot Winnebago on the lot. So we settled that thing up and hitched Jimmy's new 18-foot Ranger to the back of that Winnebago and headed off to Mexico. I'd only been to Mexico once in my life before then. We got down there, and this was in October, and the weather was just absolutely perfect. You know, I'd caught a lot of fish before. I'd fished during the formative years of Sam Rayburn and Toledo Bend, you know, when the bass limit in Texas was still 15, and some days you could actually catch that many. But this was a different deal entirely. We got down to Lake Guerrero. There were no facilities at all on the lake. In fact, you had to launch your boat where the old highway actually was submerged by the lake. Luckily, Jimmy knew what was going to happen, so he called all his golfing buddies and got us all left-handed golf gloves so we could handle the fish that we caught on this lake. You know, I think we all caught over 100 fish a day and literally wore the thumbs out of those golf gloves. Over the next 40 years, I fished at Sugar Lake, Don Martin, Huitas, Palmito, El Salto, Lake Comodoro. All of them were good by American standards, but I've never had a single day of fishing anywhere that compared to any of those 3 days at Lake Guerrero. I've had some days when I caught a lot better quality fish, but never that many. Exhausted after 3 days of fishing, and we're coming back in the Winnebago, pulling an 18-foot bass boat behind us, so that's got a lot of vehicle on the highway there. And I was driving. It was Saturday night when we got close to Matamoros, Mexico, the border crossing into Texas. I looked in the rearview mirror and saw sparks behind the Winnebago, and I thought, you know, that's not good. So we pulled off and went around there, and one of the braces on the trailer hitch that was welded on under the Winnebago had come unwelded on one side. So we were only connected on one side with this boat that no telling how much it weighed. So we got a jack, and we jacked the thing back into place, and we tied it on with a nylon rope. And then I drove through Matamoros on Saturday night, pulling that boat tied on with a ski rope. And as soon as we cleared the border, somehow or other, I don't know, I think Jimmy paid the guy $100 to come out and weld the trailer hitch back in place for us, and that's how we limped on home.
Enjoying God's great outdoors through the pen and the mind and the heart of the great Ray Sasser, outdoor writer for the Dallas Morning News for 34 years. And by the way, he authored 11 books. His photography and writing, splendid. And those are readily available. You can still buy a copy of those. And I highly recommend it for, you know, fireside reading in the winter or air-conditioned reading in the summer. We have more fish to catch with the great Ray Sasser and the importance of the love of family and time spent with them in the great outdoors. Ray was a great example of that.
Good morning, everyone. It's Brian Snowden. When I'm not in the great outdoors, I'm thinking about it with Big Billy Kinder Outdoors.
Outdoorsmen and women like to be well-equipped. We also travel extensively and need restaurants, fuel, and rooms. And no matter where the fisherman or hunter travels in the U.S. or Canada, BBKO Radio is there. This just might be the perfect spot for you to tell us about your products and services. The BBKO Radio Network, an affordable way to reach every farm, road, and city with your message. To learn more, come see us at bbkoradio.com. Hey guys, don't lose that bragfish today. We've all done it. A weak hook set, a late sweep with the rod, giant jumpers that throw that heavy jig back in our faces. The folks at Trapper Tackle have solved the lost fish issue. For the first time in forever, there's meaningful innovation in the fish hook. The Trapper Tackle iCast Best in Show winner 2 years back-to-back has a unique patented design that locks your catch until you have her in your hands. It's this one-of-a-kind locking system that keeps your plastics in place, cast after cast after cast, too. Trapper Tackle makes hooks for all finesse, live bait, and plastics presentations. Treble hooks for your hard baits, too. When you first take a look at Trapper Tackle hooks, you'll probably scratch your head. When you pose up with that behemoth that didn't get away, you'll smile ear to ear. Trapper Tackle and Bill Lewis have partnered a legend with a state-of-the-art hook design to produce the Rattle Trapper. You need some of those, too. Get them at TrapperTackle.com. Lock them in and load the boat. TrapperTackle.com.
Since 2003, Bend the Knee International has answered the call to take the good news of Jesus Christ and the hope of the gospel to the Navajo Nation and the people of Siberia. Many have never heard the simple but magnificent message that Christ is God, who loves us so much that he died for our sins, defeated death, and rose again. The simple message of salvation brings a gift of eternal life if we'll only believe it. I am Tom Watson, president of Bended Knee International. Learn more about Bended Knee at bendedknee.org.
Hey, Wally Marshall, Mr. Crappie here, inviting you and your family to the Crappie Expo presented by Riceland. Hot Springs, Arkansas, October 4 through 6, 2019. The Crappie Expo is for crappie fanatics like you. There will be over 90 crappie fishing manufacturers and dealers selling and showing today's top crappie fishing products in the world. Come see the top 100 pro crappie teams competing in the first $100,000 Mr. Crappie Invitational Crappie Tournament on Lake Hamilton, October 4 through 6 at the Game and Fish Boat Ramp facility on Lake Hamilton. The world's largest crappie fry will be held Saturday, October the 5th, starting at 11 a.m. Bring your family and enjoy the fried crappie, french fried taters, and hush puppies. Free to everyone. Be sure to go by the vendors at the expo to get your tickets. Special thanks to Riceland, Express Boats, Berkeley, TTI Blakemore, Arkansas Game and Fish, Mossback Fish Habitat, ACT Crappie Trail, Gill, and Hummingbird.
The 2019 Crappie Expo, presented by Riceland Rice Bran Oil. Fry it up. Crisp, clean, delicious.
The Vineyards Campground and Cabins has time and again been recognized nationally as a safe, clean, fun, and, well, perfect family destination. With all new full hookup 50 amp pedestals, pull through sites, lightning fast Wi-Fi and cable TV at every site, the Vineyards Campground in Grapevine, Texas will become a regular travel stop for you. Bring the whole family and enjoy our beautiful group pavilion, private swim beach and boat ramp, stand-up paddle boards, well-stocked camp store, and the friendliest staff that you'll find as you travel in your RV or bus. We're located on the shore of beautiful Grapevine Lake, and you'd never guess that we're right in the middle of Dallas-Fort Worth. Just outside the gated entry at the Vineyards, enjoy the charm of Main Street with exclusive shopping and delicious dining. Or maybe you'd like to just hang out and enjoy the fireworks over the lake on Friday nights. Don't have an RV? No worries! Come stay at the Vineyards fully furnished cabins. We can't wait to see you, so make your reservation now at vineyardscampground.com. See you soon.
Every animal that has ever roamed this planet was designed as hunted or hunter. predator or prey. We are hunters. If it were ever necessary, even the strictest vegan would return to the wild, driven to survive by the instincts of his ancestors. Those who hide behind the soft delusion of their own ignorance do so from within a civilization whose very being costs the lives of countless creatures every single day. Death is an undeniable fuel of life. This is the undeniable truth of existence. To live in balance with the planet that sustains us, we must admit and embrace the nature within us. Trust the hunter in your blood.
In the truck. Half the fun is just getting there. Big Billy Kinder Outdoors, presented by the Dallas Safari Club.
While you enjoy a day at the range, we stand on Capitol Hill and firmly say no to those who would rip that right and that gun from you. We are the DSC, and we're at biggame.org.
Hey, we love to hear from you. Here's how you contact us. 1-877-820-BBKO is the telephone number here in the old camp house. 1-877-820-2256. The website where you can leave a note on the door is bbkoradio.com. bbkoradio.com. And if you want to just email me directly, it's billy@bbkoradio.com. billy@bbkoradio.com. We're celebrating the work and the talent of my friend Ray Sasser on the show today, our camp house storyteller over most of the past decade, a well-traveled outdoorsman, sportsman, and talented hunter, fisherman, but he had a talent to take that experience and transfer it to the morning paper where you actually felt like you were there with Ray. And he never lit up any more brightly than when he was talking about his hunting companion, his constant companion, his companion in everything, his wife, Emily.
We were at summertime on a beautiful ranch in the hill country where we know a guy who owns the ranch, and we go down there and we'll kill an axis deer doe for meat because that deer meat is just fabulous stuff. But Emily had fired my 280 at a range, you know, at the targets, and so she had a rifle she could shoot. So I said, well, yes, let's go. We'll try to get you a, you know, because we had Zach with us. We couldn't leave him alone. It was too hot to sit in a blind, which is the best way to get one of these axis does, because they were wild as a March hare. They'd been hunted a lot, and they were wild. The bucks, on the other hand, were not that wild, and they just kind of stand around and look at you, but the does would take off first time they saw you. All we're doing is riding around the vehicle, you know, and which is illegal in Texas. On private property, and so we just looked, and it was winding down, and we were not having any success at all. And so finally, we drove up on a whole band of axis deer, and the bucks were just standing there, and so the does were standing there too. They weren't running either. So Emily gets she's got a sandbag in the window, and she's got a rifle at the window, and she's got a good solid rest, and she gets on this axis doe, and I tell her which one to shoot, and I've got binoculars on the deer, you know, and she shoots, and this deer just falls deader than a hammer. I mean, it's just straight to the ground, you know. Of course, Emily's, you know, the rifle has a significant recoil, and she's recoiled away from the scope, so all she sees is a bunch of spotted deer running in every direction, and she looks at me, and she says, I can't believe I missed that deer. And I said, well, guess what? You didn't miss it. She's right where she was standing.
It was very good. Axis deer are my absolute favorite deer to hunt and to eat, obviously, because they're so good. Emily, you started at the top.
Well, I was lucky. I married him, and so I was lucky and got to start at the top. And I had the opportunity several years ago to kill a red deer. And then I found out that that was even better than axis deer. Now, I haven't had the opportunity since then to kill another red deer, but that was a fun hunt, too.
Yeah.
Those are big deer. They have a lot of meat.
You bet.
Yeah.
Well, let's see. You've got a really nice wall-hanger mule deer at the Sasser Place. I've seen it. You've killed an axis deer, a red deer. Whitetail?
Yes. I've killed several whitetail over time. My favorite was the two that were locked together back-to-back that we came upon on a South Texas ranch. And I jokingly tell people all the time, the way they were locked together and one of them was dead, rigor mortis had set in, and the other one was trying to throw him off. So every time he landed, he stood. So I jokingly tell people all the time, I killed the dead one first, and then I killed the other one.
That's the smart way to go about that. Yeah, I've seen that rack at your house. Ray showed it to me before. That's pretty cool stuff.
So Emily and I were hunting in early November in West Texas. We'd had a fabulous hunt. You know, we were hunting on an MLDP ranch, so there was no limit on the number. And we were shooting management bucks, you know. And
yeah.
I mean, the first afternoon we were there, she shot a management buck that was the ranch record for weight. You know, the dressed weight was 160 pounds, so it was bigger than a 200-pound deer live weight. I mean, it was absolute brute. And then we went to a different blind and got another management buck for him that had just showed up at that blind. And so we were talking about with the ranch guy, with the ranch manager, you know, what deer is left? You know, what deer do you have left that, you know, is kind of regular? He said, well, we got old Crab Claw up here in the 1400 pasture. He said, but he's never been to a feeder. Don't have a photograph of him feeder. There's a protein feeder up here that he's at night, you know, but he doesn't come to the corn feeders. And we'd already rattled up several deer, you know, And so I thought, well, I said, we'll just go over to the 1400 and rattle up Crab Claw. You know, it was a joke. This deer is 6.5 years old. I'm thinking, well, you know, it's just a joke. You know, we're going to do it. So we get up the next morning and it's foggy. And it's foggy enough where we're staying that you couldn't have hunted, you know, because you couldn't see 50 yards.
Yeah.
And so we waited a while until the sun came out, and I thought maybe it's broken up the fog a little bit. And we drove away. It's, you know, 6 or 7 or 8 miles back there to where we were going to hunt. So we drove back there, and we get out of the car, and we walk up to this spot, and I look around. And it's, you know, everything is wet. The mesquites are wet. The fog is still hanging in patches in the air. Bill, I swear to God, it looks like a cathedral in the wild or something. There was just something divine about the whole thing. And I said, okay, this is a good spot. And she's got a shooting rest for her rifle. And we're just basically kind of standing in the open. And the acoustics that morning, I guess it's because of the fog. There wasn't much wind. There was a breeze. But the acoustics were so spectacular that there's a house on the other side of the fence, and the house is probably 500 yards from where we were, 600 yards maybe from where we were. And I could hear a guy talking to a dog in the yard. He wasn't yelling at the dog. He was talking to the dog. I could hear him that far, and I thought, it's not going to take much sound to make the food of these deer this morning. I just started grinding my antlers together, and immediately two bucks ran up on our left, and they were young bucks, and we just kind of stood there and watched them, and they went in front of us, and they kind of disappeared down the hill. And as they went, I saw one of them stop and look real hard, you know, directly downwind from us. And I said, he's looking at something. There's somebody down there he's looking at. So they wandered on off. And I started grinding the horns together a little bit more, and I saw a movement down there, and I just saw a head stick up over a hill. I said, that's a mature buck. I don't know. I'm not sure which one it is, but that's a mature buck. And I ground the horns again, and he didn't run. He just kind of came walking to us, and he walked to us, and he walked to us, and he walked right up to us. I mean, it was amazing. It was a really intense moment. And Emily's on the scope. She's got him in the sights. He was looking at us, so his crab was lined up where I really couldn't see it. But I could tell he was a 6.5-year-old 8-pointer.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't any more than that. And so I said, go ahead and shoot this deer. And just as she shot, he turned his head, and I saw the crab, and she shot him. And we had gone and rattled up a specific 6.5-year-old deer. I think that's the highlight of my entire deer hunting career. I've killed a lot of good deer. I've done a lot of neat things. I've seen a lot of neat things. I think that's the neatest thing that I've ever done.
No one ever did it any better writing about the great outdoors and telling those stories than my friend Ray Sasser. I'm going to make a little run to the coffee pot, but I'll meet you right back here.
This is T. Boone Pickens. When we're not in the great outdoors, we're thinking about it on Big Billy Kinder's Outdoors.
When it's time to fillet your catch or field dress that deer, it's not the time for a dull piece of steel that not only makes the job 10 times tougher, but also gouges into the meat, resulting in ugly cuts, loss of meat, and a dirtier job. A sharp blade is absolutely essential for clean and proper cuts in the field, in the kitchen, workshop, or garage. Remember this name, WorkSharp Knife and Tool Sharpeners. Trust me when I say that WorkSharp will make any knife you own sharper than the day you bought them. And WorkSharp sharpeners are easy to understand and use. That's a big deal. They come in all sizes, handheld for the backpack, boat, or to carry along in the truck. A handy kitchen model to quickly, simply, and precisely sharpen your culinary knives. Slice that tomato paper thin. WorkSharp makes bench models, too, for lawnmower blades, hatchets, shovels, and bigger blades. WorkSharp is offering 30% off when you use the promo code BigBilly30. That's Big Billy and the number 30 when you order online at WorkSharpTools.com. Did you see Mark Daniels Jr. catch 70 pounds of Lake Oahe, South Dakota smallmouth bass during the Bassmaster Elite Series? I did. I watched him from Jim's boat where we were busy catching those delicious Oahe walleye. The folks at Spring Creek Fishing and Hunting Resort on Lake Oahe, same place that the elites stayed and launched, prepared them for us every night in their award-winning restaurant and bar. They do walleye 7 different ways, all terrific, but the beer batter is my favorite. Oh, and don't miss the USDA Prime Steaks, aged for tenderness and hand-cut on site. From the restaurant, it's every bit of a 60-second walk to your lakeside cabin with a sprawling front porch, big-screen TV, and private bedroom and bathrooms. Time for a little rest, because Jim will pick us up again at the breakfast table tomorrow morning, and we'll head back out to world-class Oahe walleye and smallmouth fishing. Ask David and Angela about private charter jet service for your group to Spring Creek Fishing and Hunting Resort, springcreeksd.com. National outdoor writer Ken Kirkaby knows of what he writes.
I think I probably hunted in just about every western state. And I fly fished in a lot of those places.
He's fished the waters, walked the land, and harvested the game that makes him authentic.
That's where the basis of that comes from. I wanted to make this really authentic, and I wanted people to identify with it. Guys like you and I have a real hard time finding good stuff to read, because it's written by guys that just don't know what the heck they're writing about. And guys like you and I, we read 2 pages and we say, hey, that's phony. This is not the way it is.
Ever since The Old Man and the Sea, fishing novels have been scarce on the horizon. That was until national outdoor writer Ken Kirkaby wrote his blue water classic, The Tournament. Chuck Winchler of Sporting Classics says you can read The Tournament in about the time it takes to catch a big marlin, and every moment will be just as fun, just as exciting. Jennifer Mayhall of Paradise This Week says, The Tournament reels you into the world of sport fishing and doesn't let you go. The Tournament by Ken Kirkaby. Get it on Amazon. After spending a few days at Joshua Creek Ranch, I describe it as a sportsman's nirvana.
We love creating a unique experience for each of our guests. You know, the interests can vary here from wing shooting to deer hunting to fly fishing to river kayaking. So we have a great variety of guests, and we like for them to enjoy everything we have to offer.
As I enjoyed the birth of a new day over the rolling hill country ranch that is Joshua Creek, I was amazed at the wildlife, quail, pheasants, native white-tailed deer, trophy class axis deer.
We've worked hard on the habitat, planted improved grasses, really with the help of some wildlife biologists, studied what would make the best habitat to keep our game here.
Mm-hmm. We can hunt easily 6, 7, 8 groups. And we don't try to do it on 40 acres. I mean, right. These people get to walk. They get to see some country.
Joe and Ann Kirchival invite you to enjoy this free-range ranch just northwest of San Antonio. Visit joshuacreek.com.
sometimes our office is a bass boat. Tough job, but somebody's got to do it. Big Billy Kinder Outdoors, presented by the Dallas Safari Club.
The Dallas Safari Club meets monthly at chapters across the U.S. If you'd like to attend or start a chapter in your neighborhood, visit biggame.org.
And each of those chapters has their own separate banquets with auctions and great food and giveaways and cool trips and hunting gear. And there's a couple of them coming up. One I want you to know about is coming up real soon. It's the East Texas Sportsman's Club, Friday, July 26th, the Dallas Safari Club East Texas chapter. It's the big event at the barn, Nacogdoches, Texas. This is the first ever fundraiser for this DSC chapter. The money will be used for chapter projects in conservation, youth hunting, outdoor programs, and community outreach. Dinner, a live and silent auction, raffle. Seating is limited. Please let them know if you want to come, and they'll save a spot for you. Details at bbkoradio.com. Move it out west just a little bit to New Mexico. The third annual gala and fundraiser for Dallas Safari Club New Mexico. And this one's coming up even sooner. It's next Saturday night, July 20th, Albuquerque at the Convention Center. Amazing hunts, fishing trips, firearms, artwork, Vortex Optics, Swarovski Optics, a live auction, silent auction, raffles, games, amazing prizes, and 40 to 100 trophy mule deer mounts on display. Biggins. All of the info about these DSC chapter banquets are at bbkoradio.com.
This is a Big Billy Kinder Conservation Minute, a quick focus on people making a difference.
The Dallas Ecological Foundation is now the Outdoors Tomorrow Foundation, or OTF. Hi, I'm Scott McClure with the OTF, and I wanted to let you know that aside from the name change, we are the same organization, a 501c3, doing the same important work for the future of American youth in the hunting, fishing, and shooting sports. The Outdoors Tomorrow Foundation is the wheel that keeps outdoor adventures moving in our schools. Outdoor Adventures is in hundreds of schools across America, teaching kids in junior highs and high schools great things like archery, boating safety, camping, and hunting. It's a legitimate part of the school curriculum. Outdoor Adventures is a PE course for kids that just don't have an interest in school or athletics or team sports. They're not involved. The life lessons learned and the lives that light up when learning these outdoor skills are real, and the stories are fantastic. The Outdoors Tomorrow Foundation is opening new insights to youth through public schools. If you'd like to donate or see Outdoor Adventures in your local school, the first step is to visit our website, DallasEcologicalFoundation.org.
Preserving what we love and educating our next generation every day. To learn more, go to BigBillyKinderOutdoors.com. Thank you.
I talked to my friend Ray Sasser a lot about deer hunting, about rattling deer, and about aging deer. He had studied, and I do mean studied, not just hunted, but studied white-tailed deer for so long that he knew exactly what to look for in gauging the age of a white-tailed deer. Very important if you like to manage the deer on your property. I was not the valedictorian at Mineral Wells High School, but I was smart enough to turn my tape recorder on when Ray talked to me about aging deer.
Afternoon shadows were long when the 9-point buck stepped out of the brush within shooting range of the Central Texas Tower Blind. My wife, Emily, was a designated hitter, but it was my job to evaluate the deer and give her the green light. We were looking for management bucks. On the ranch we were hunting, a management buck is at least 3 years old with subpar antlers. The 9-pointer fit the bill, but I was really hoping for an older buck. As daylight faded, the deer started walking down a faint ranch road. I gave Emily the go-ahead, and she eased her rifle into position and began tracking the buck through her scope, just waiting for him to stop and present a stationary target. That's when I noticed a second buck that had just stepped out into the road from behind a bush. I glanced at the second deer and noted his spindly 8-point rack and just assumed, without a critical look, that he was very young. The two bucks were walking toward one another on a collision course when the 9-pointer left the road and cautiously circled around the other buck. "Shoot the 8-pointer," I whispered, and my wife shifted her attention, performed her duties admirably, and dropped the buck where he stood. An examination of his teeth revealed the deer was 5 years old and about as sorry a specimen as an adult whitetail gets on this particular ranch. He was an ideal buck to remove for management purposes, but I might not have determined his age had I not spent hundreds of hours hunting, photographing, and watching how whitetails interact with one another. The 9-pointer gave ground to the 8-pointer because the 8-pointer was older and had established dominance in the whitetail pecking order. Why is it important that a hunter be able to age live deer at maximum rifle range? Because most bucks don't reach their full antler growth potential until they're at least 5 years old. Depending on range condition or whether the deer receive supplemental feed, their antlers may peak at age 6, 7, or even older. It seems a shame to shoot an outstanding young buck before he has a chance to reach his full potential, and likewise, before he has a chance to spread his superior genes through the deer herd. It seems equally shameful to take a young, outstanding buck and leave an older, unimpressive buck to do the breeding. That's why so much emphasis is placed on being able to determine a live buck's age, and you can't ask them to see their driver's license. Having hunted white-tailed deer from the Canadian River to the Rio Grande, I can say without reservation that deer look different in different regions, and their appearances may even differ from one ranch to the next. The same buck even looks different at different times of the year. When range conditions are good, the deer are in excellent shape, and they look older. They look younger after the breeding season when they're run down from chasing does. The best educational tool for judging deer antlers or aging bucks is a video camera. It functions quietly and you can replay the video for knowledgeable hunting partners and debate each buck. Here are four clues to use in field judging the age of a white-tailed buck. The first is body shape. Young bucks have immature bodies that are shaped like does. They have delicate facial features, slender torsos, and legs that appear long and slender. This is true of yearling bucks and two-year-old deer. They start filling out by age 3. Even at 4, their backs remain a straight line. At age 5, bucks are fully mature and both their stomachs and their backs will sag slightly. From now on, the deer's legs appear too short for its body. Another clue is head and neck. Young bucks have tight skins on their faces. Only in full maturity, which is age 6 and older, will the deer's skin sag under its chin, like the skin of a mature person. Bucks begin exhibiting the swollen, bodybuilder-looking neck at about age 4, and a muscular neck should be very apparent in a 5-year-old deer. The swollen neck results from rubbing antlers against trees and brush. Elevated testosterone levels contributed to the swollen neck. Fully mature buck often develops a distinctly Roman nose. The patchy forehead gland on a mature buck appears thicker and darker than on a young buck. Now you look at the tarsal glands. These are the glands inside each hind leg at the knee. They're barely noticeable in bucks younger than 3, but become bigger and darker as the deer matures. Darkly stained tarsal glands are a particularly good indicator of age during the breeding season, which begins in October in Central and East Texas. In West Texas, the breeding season occurs in November with a Thanksgiving peak. South Texas has the state's latest breeding season, late November through December. Finally, you look at social interactions. Young deer will usually give way to an older deer. Fight may break out if a buck relocates to a new area, which frequently occurs during the breeding season. But dominance is generally well established among bucks that know one another. Dominant bucks will go out of their way to make subordinate bucks give ground to them. They may walk 100 yards out of their way just to make another buck back down. The dominant buck often does not have the biggest antlers, but he's usually the eldest and often outweighs a younger rival. You'll notice that I never mentioned antler size in my aging clues, yet antler size is the only assessment most hunters ever consider.
Boy, I miss him, Ray Sasser. I hope you've enjoyed spending time with my friend Ray today in the camp house here at Big Billy Kinder Outdoors. I want to thank my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, for the time we've had together here, and invite you to give us a call or leave a note on the door at bbkoradio.com. bbkoradio.com. The phone number, 1-877-820-2256. Hey, have a great week, and I'll meet you right back here in this old camp house next time around. Until then, may God bless you and your bunch.